Coral.
Coral?
Call it what you want.
Ink.
All right, we will open up our 1:30 informal hearing. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're meeting here today in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the State Capitol Building in Bismarck. We have an informal hearing scheduled for one case. It's case number PU-11-230, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU, disposal of franchise works and system, White Earth application. For the record, and for those who may be listening in, and we do have a few folks who've joined us by the phone for this afternoon's informal, we'll identify ourselves and then we'll ask the people who are on the phone to do the same. This is Tony Clark, Commission Chair.
Kevin Kramer, welcome.
Commissioner Brian Culk, welcome as well.
From our staff here in the room, and Pat, I'll ask you to grab a mic.
Patrick Fond, Commission staff.
And from MDU.
Dan Kuntz, MDU Resources Group for Montana Dakota Utilities Co., the applicant.
Tammy Eberly with Montana Dakota.
Very good. And joining us by phone?
This is Jake Zettel, MDU Badlands Electric Superintendent.
Marlene Wallander, MDU.
And Williston, Ken Callahan, Energy Services Manager.
And Mark Holter, Montreal Williams Electric, Member Service Manager.
Very good. With that, we'll turn it over to the applicant. And
thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to give you a very high-level background discussion on this application, and the people who are on the phone are here to answer any questions the Commission might have and provide a little more detail if the Commission needs. This is an application by MDU to transfer its electric distribution system and its authority to serve the community of White Earth, North Dakota, to Montreal Electric, Williams Electric Cooperative. MDU is currently serving about 45 customer accounts in White Earth, and I note that because there was an error in the application. We said 70 accounts. It's actually about 45 right now. We've handed out a map to you, and I think the map kind of helps explain why this application is in the public interest. MDU currently serves White Earth with a 12.5 kV two-phase distribution line that runs from a substation north of Tioga to the community of White Earth. This is a radial line. It was built in 1964 and would need to be rebuilt fairly soon to assure continued service reliability of MDU is to continue to serve White Earth. This line is located in a corridor with two other lines, and one of the things, as I understand, that kind of precipitated the discussion between MDU and Montreal Williams was the desire of Montreal Williams, or need of Montreal Williams, to build a transmission line along the same corridor, which would have then put four lines in that corridor. And they had discussions with MDU in terms of how they might utilize that corridor in a manner that would minimize the impact to landowners. And in the course of that discussions, they looked really in how the companies could serve the area while working with the landowners and most efficiently serve the community. After they studied the issue, they concluded it made the most sense for White Earth, for Montreal Williams to serve White Earth from its existing facilities in the area, which are much closer, as I understand, than the Tioga substation, and that MDU would then retire that 9 miles of radial line. This would avoid the significant investment of MDU rebuilding that distribution line. There would be a shorter distribution extension from Montreal Williams' existing facilities, which would improve reliability concerns over the long term. There was an added benefit to MDU in that it would free up capacity on the North Tioga substation. And Montreal Williams would then use that, basically that corridor that's currently being used for MDU's transmission line. Most or some of that could be used for the Montreal Williams transmission line without adding another line to the corridor. Under the arrangement, Montreal Williams will purchase and take over operations of MDU's existing services within White Earth, with the exception of the meters and the transformers, which MDU will retain. MDU would then retire the 9 miles of radio line. The companies have met with the City Council. They've also had a public information session back in June with customers to answer any questions they had. The Commission is aware that these companies have entered into service agreements for the City of Stanley and the Williston area. We really believe this is another example of an IOU and a cooperative working together in a manner to provide service in a fair and efficient manner and in the best interests of customers. As I indicated, there are representatives of both MDU and Montreal Williams on the phone to answer any questions you might have, as well as the representative of Montreal Williams can provide more information in terms of how they propose to provide service to customers within the White Earth upon the transfer. So that would be the high-level background on this.
Understanding that transmission is in the eye of the beholder, and transmission here in North Dakota isn't always what's transmission elsewhere. The new line that is at some point in the future going to be constructed, what size line are we talking about?
And I can ask Montreal Williams to clarify this, but it's my understanding that line will not be used to serve White Earth. They will actually be serving White Earth off another line, and perhaps Mark can answer that question for you, Commissioner.
Yeah, this is Mark. Currently, we have single-phase line that comes in from the north, and we're just right at the city limits of White Earth, mm-hmm. and it also drops down, and we're just south of White Earth. That single-phase line will be replaced with a new three-phase line, and that three-phase line actually connects to a new line that goes down to a new substation that was just built a year ago south of Ross for the oil load. So it's going to be pretty much new substation, new line all the way from south of Ross right into the city of White Earth.
So the transmission line that's going to replace, not replace, but go perhaps in place of that radio line is for another purpose altogether.
Right.
Okay.
Probably oil load.
What's the voltage of that line going to be?
That'll be 7,200 R's.
Okay.
I had a general question, I guess. You talked about service area agreements. We just voted this morning on the one I'm dealing with Williston, and during the informal for that one, there was basically the question of the pricing is virtually the same. Why do we have a difference here of a decrease of $20 for non-space heaters and a difference of $125 for space heater, when before we heard separate case, I understand that, it was virtually the same cost?
And I guess I could, maybe Mark might be in a better position to respond to that, but it's my understanding that the rate schedules aren't identical, and they will be serving it off of their rate schedule that they use for this city of Newtown. So depending upon your usage level and whether or not you're a space heating customer, there could be some differences. Mark, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yep. You know, that's correct. And, you know, we meter our heat separately, and MDU doesn't. They just have, in 7 months of the winter, they have a lower rate over 750 kilowatt hours. And typically in the wintertime, those in White Earth that have electric heat, you know, you'd see an increase in their usage. But, you know, whether it's electric heat or, you know, waterers for horses or plugging in vehicles, that would all fall under that low rate over 750 kilowatt hours. With us, we just meter the electric heat separately, and they're close to the same rate. But we did, I tried to contact the people that when I looked at their annual usage, I tried to figure out who possibly is using electric heat. I came up with 12 people. I tried calling them, and I wrote letters to them explaining that I'd like them to contact me and let me know, you know, do you have electric heat in the wintertime? And I only got a response from two. And one had horses that they use waterers on, and the other one, she just didn't have electric heat. And these aren't homes that use a lot. I mean, I'm not seeing thousands of kilowatt hours, you know, in the wintertime. You know, when we have people that use electric heat, their usage might jump 3,000, 4,000 kilowatt hours on a cold winter month, and that's almost all electric heat. These weren't jumping like that, but they were a little bit higher, so I wanted to question them, and I only got response from two.
Okay, thank you.
I'd asked in the hearing room here, White Earth is a Montana-Dakota gas distribution town.
Yes, it is.
So primarily they probably don't have a lot of electric heat.
Right.
Has reliability been an issue on this at White Earth up to this point at all? I guess I haven't heard about it as a problem, but we have had issues from time to time on some of these rural systems where they have these small radial lines, and it's the town on the end of the line. There are a few in Otter Tail system that come to mind where we've had problems with storm-related issues. Has this been a problem at all in White Earth that's expected to get any better, or has it not been an issue to this point?
Ken or Jake?
Jake,
do you have any comments on that? Did you hear the question?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. I wouldn't say that reliability has been a major issue in White Earth, but given the 9 miles of radial line of vintage that it is, we just know that it can't be expected to operate at a high degree of reliability well into the future. I believe we did lose a number of poles, 5 or single digits, during the last ice storm that went through there, and we did have to make some repairs. And so I think it, just for planning for the future, if to operate that at a high degree of reliability, which I would expect, it would need significant ongoing maintenance or rebuild to maintain the reliability we've seen in the past.
Seems like we've had a lot of problems more in the kind of Cheyenne and James River Valley areas with some of those towns. But I think that has more to do with they've just been pounded by bad weather, it seems, disproportionately in that.
Well, I think some of it's just a coincidence, too, depending upon if, the storm happens to go by where your radial line or not.
Mm-hmm.
The more of that, the longer that radial line is, the more exposure you have. It's just a basic fact.
Other questions from Pat, from staff, or from commission?
I guess I have one. This is Pat Fawn. I have one question about: will White Earth, the system serving White Earth, be be able to be looped? Then will there be more reliability because of that, of a system that could be looped?
This is Mark with Montreal Williams Electric. It's one thing when we did meet with the people that I know was positive with them is we've got a crew right in Stanley, and it's a full operating crew with bucket trucks and diggers. And a lot of these people in White Earth know and are friends with a lot of these employees that live just a few miles away. And as far as loop feeds, it's not a loop, but we have different ways of feeding it, I guess, where I would say yes, being that close to a substation and other feeds, that we'd be able to feed it from other directions. But I know the few residents I visited with, they came up and mentioned to me that they were excited about having our crews and our people just right next door to them.
Will the existing radial line be physically removed before the new line is put in, and who's responsible for that, and what's the timetable for that?
I better let Jake and Mark Ken respond to that. I've got an understanding, but I better make sure that I have them respond to make sure it's correct.
Mark can answer that question.
I know that the last staff meeting we had, that once this meeting was held, and if it was a green light on it, we've got contractors up here now building into these wells. We've got about 250 men working up here. And our manager, Dale Haugen, I know, just looked at operations and said, if this goes through, this gets moved up and it's a rush order, and we're going to build that 3 miles of line as soon as we can. And then once that's in place, then MDU and Montreal Williams will replace the meters and eventually the transformers. But once that's done, then that 9 miles is de-energized, and then it's up to MDU to remove that, I guess. I don't know the timetable, but it'll be killed and it'll be dead.
Mm-hmm. Just so I'm clear on this, because it seems like I heard two different things, and I'm just, it's probably my own, just my own head that's not clear. But the Montreal Williams indicated that there'd be a short, that the single phase from the north is going to be replaced by a three phase that'll come in from the north into White Earth, and then it would, the new transmission line that's been discussed, is that the one that's going to extend south into Ross? And when I first read MDU's application, it sounded like this existing radial corridor would also be used for something. It, could you just sort of tie that all together for me again?
Sure. The Hess gas plant in Tioga is expanding.
Okay.
And we have to add a substation to that. And we need to come out of this new Neset Valley substation and come south a little bit and then west into the Hess gas plant. And that corridor, for us to do that, is the one that MDU has this existing line in. And that's the one that when they de-energize and remove that line, we'll be able to come down from the Neset sub and go into the new substation by the Hess gas plant.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Before it goes south, right? Somewhere in
there. No. The extension down to the Ross sub, that's a separate project?
That is already in place. That's the Ross sub is in place, and the three-phase coming out of the Ross sub goes north and it crosses Highway 2, and it goes quite a bit north, and we'll tap off of that and go 3 miles west into the city of White Earth.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Other questions? Primary benefit from MDU standpoint sounds like avoided future costs.
Well, I think a few things. Number one, the cooperative relationship. You know, this agreement, along with the Williston agreement, I think just working together to see how we can most efficiently serve customers. We avoid the cost of having to rebuild or upgrade that line long term, which would be a significant investment, and then the free up the capacity on that Tioga substation that currently is being used to serve White Earth. That provides us some additional capacity out of there. So, all in all, it just seemed to make good sense for both companies that Montreal Williams would serve that community and then we would retire that transmission line.
But it's really just the cost to upgrade and maintain the line divided by about 45 is that number. Do you guys ever pencil out that number?
I haven't. I mean, I get...
it makes sense to me, but that's about what it comes
fairly significant, though.
Yeah.
Take a lot of years to recover the cost of that line.
Exactly. $500,000 a mile.
Depends what happens at White Earth, I guess.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you don't know what the future there brings.
That's right. How many rigs will be operating? Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions? Pat, any concerns, any thoughts? Any?
No.
Okay.
Nothing in particular.
Brian, it's in your portfolio.
The only thing I was thinking is that if this is up for the next meeting, does that tie into what you folks think would work out? Do we need to have a work session?
I don't feel the need for a work session.
I don't either. That's where, is the next scheduled meeting, would that be fine? Or is there a desire to do it before then?
Mark and Ken, next scheduled meeting, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks from
yesterday. If you got approval 2 weeks from yesterday or today, would that work timeline-wise?
I think we both agree that would be fine. I'm sitting in Marshall Williams' office. The only other thing that I put note here is we're working with it. And these customers that have higher bills, they do their electric heat a little different. They have to have a second meter. And they've committed to picking up the expense of installing that second meter and upgrading the services to the customers. So if they do find some customers that have the electric heat, that they will upgrade the services and install an additional meter at cost to Marshall Williams.
Of course, you'll be trying to sell them on gas heat, won't you?
Absolutely.
Let me ask Pat a question.
No comment.
from an order wording standpoint, do you have a sense for how this will be worded? I mean, there has to be a date at which MDU's obligation to serve ends, but we don't know exactly what that date is. Is there? Do you already have a sense for how it'll be worded?
We don't have a. We haven't done one of these in a long, long time. Maybe.
That effective date when we would provide you notice?
That's what I was thinking. Sure, if there's some way to do that.
Yeah, we would give.
And we don't need to figure it out today, but just something to be on your radar screen.
Yeah, that way we'd make sure everything was in place, and then we would give you notice as to when the transfer, took effect, so you'd know.
I'd suggest maybe, Dan, if you have some language in mind, just get it over
with
Pat. If you want to do a little draft order, proposed order, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing nothing, we'll close the informal hearing on PU-11-230. Thanks to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
$4 million for the line.